All right, I'm going to try to adhere to this. Technically, we're only supposed to have 8 slides for 8 minutes, but I went a little bit past that. I'm an ER doc as well. I work at Emory, and then I work at CDC full-time, where I'm on the team leading integration of public health into the healthcare system, prescription drug overdose, older adult falls being our two focal areas, both PDO, the bigger epidemic, but falls a growing epidemic in the United States, 70 million people turning 65, 1,000 a day. Turning 65 in total, that's going to be around 70 million people, and this epidemic is only going to grow. I don't have any disclosures for this. So we're going to talk about the burden, existing evidence, where we are now with fall prevention and screening in the clinical setting, the STEADI program, and I've got an example of that. You can look at this afterwards of a toolkit for providers on what they can do to prevent older adult falls in their patient population screening and referral. The implementation of that, and then talk about what we're doing in select states on helping fuel the use of these screening interventions. So every 15 seconds, an older adult is seen in an emergency department with a fall, around $30 billion in direct medical costs, and that's about 3 years old, so we don't have current cost estimates right now. It's a leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injury in those 65 and older. 90% of hip fractures are from a fall. And as you know, many of those patients end up hospitalized for quite some time, and it's a high cost. Majority of fatal TBI because of increasing use of anticoagulants and the increased use of falls of bad coalescence. And more people that aren't dying from heart attacks because of stenting, then they end up on Plavix, they're living, but then they're at risk for a fall and a bad intracranial hemorrhage. And the big issue here is that a lot of people don't discuss the fall with their provider. They're scared they're going to lose their autonomy. And so this is all about staying independent is how we kind of frame these materials to be on the front end of having patients feel comfortable talk about these things with their provider and not feel like them or their family are then going to gang up and put them in an assisted living facility. This is what you can do now to prevent loss of your independence. This is just data from 2000-2009 showing this increase in time. This is definite increase in men, 59%, and in women, 66% from 2000-2009. And we think, obviously, as the population ages, these rates will just continue to rise. We kind of split this down into different groups in our materials, go through this of biological risk factors, leg weakness, mobility problems, and problems with balance and poor vision. So that's why we recommend exercise programs in the community, in particular Tai Chi, moving for better balance, that we have screening for visual acuity problems, that be included during that annual wellness visit for older adults. Behavioral issues as it relates to the medications that people are on, so medication reconciliation, the number of benzodiazepines, sleeping medications, antipsychotics, antiepileptics, and antidepressants all increase the risk of fall. Do patients need to be on all of these medications? Can we think about pulling them off one or more? Environmental, so of course, that's kind of received the most attention, I think. We want to make sure that that is there, too, that there's proper lighting in the home. There's not the slip rugs. We've got the grab rails in the bathroom, et cetera. But let's move beyond that into, in particular, the exercise programs. And this has kind of really been our focus to get more people into at least 50 hours of exercise over a three- or six-month span has been shown, more than other things, to really limit the likelihood of a fall. So this is an example of a stepping on class to improve balance, because a lot of old adults say, well, I'm walking 2 or 3 miles a day, isn't that enough? And the data is pretty clear that that's not enough to prevent your fall risk as much as that, plus doing something that increases core musculature and lower extremity strength. And this is another example of a Tai Chi class. Where we are now with the evidence, according to the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force in May of 2012, they do not recommend multifactorial risk assessment in conjunction with comprehensive management. So that's currently we're at grade C, meaning that if providers do this, they're not compensated. With the Affordable Care Act, all A and B measures are going to be fully funded. So smoking cessation interventions, now the only one we have an injury is screening for interpersonal violence and elder abuse. So if you do that currently, you get compensated for it. But fall risk assessment screening is not currently compensated through the Affordable Care Act. So collectively, we need to grow the evidence that, and a lot of the reason is that screening is done, but then that referral piece is lacking, and so outcomes aren't where they should be with doing that screening and intervention. We have grade B evidence currently, though, for recommending exercise or physical therapy in general and vitamin D for adults 65 and older. Just wanted to run through our toolkit, the STEADY toolkit, which stands for Stopping Elderly Accidents, Death, and Injuries. And these are some of those materials that you may be familiar with. It includes patient education, some examples of exercises, including raising from a chair that can be done really at home and not involve going to a community-based exercise class, hypotension management for providers. So does this patient need to be on three different antihypertensives? Maybe they do, but let's check for postural hypotension and see, do they have a 20-point drop in their systolic blood pressure from going supine to sitting to standing, or 10% drop in diastolic blood pressure. Medication management, do they need to be on a benzodiazepine and, you know, some sort of Ambien or Lunesta for sleeping? Is that really required? The care of foot problems and decrescentization, making sure we get B12 testing, look for peripheral neuropathies, et cetera. Of course, diabetic foot issues and adherence to better management of their sugar, vitamin D and calcium supplementation, vision optimization, ensuring we've got annual visit vision checks during their visits, home safety optimization. I mentioned some of those things that should be done as well with providers, and we've got a list of things that can be given as a brochure to patients. Referrals to evidence-based fall prevention community programs, and providers really should know what those programs are in their neighborhood, whether through the Y or other community-based groups are really helpful. And then physical therapy interventions for those that can get a referral that will be compensated. This is our algorithm that walks through what a provider could do. It involves giving them a stay-independent brochure in which people fill out their risk factors while they're in the waiting room anyway, waiting to be seen. That could be in a primary care office or emergency department, urgent care center. Then once they get there, based on that score, they can have a further conversation. So if they have four or more points, that's two plus risk factors depending on ones they select, then that can enter into other testing that's done. So timed up and go, where they get up from a chair, they walk 10 feet, they get back, how long did that take? Was it more 12 seconds? How many times can they get up and from a chair and sit back down without using their hands? So some of those physical screenings, and then asking about falls in the previous year. And that will lead then, do they need potential physical therapy and get a referral to in-home PT/OT, or could they go to a community-based setting for fall prevention? This is a self-risk assessment brochure. This is that stay independent brochure that could be filled out in the waiting room that goes through a series of risk factors. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go through all this. A way of talking to your patients using the stages of CHE, of pre-contemplation, contemplation, et cetera, of moving through those with patients. And then how we are going about improving the uptake of this material at the local setting. We've done academic detailing for primary care providers so that they learn about STEADY and the different pieces that are involved, some online training courses that are involved with STEADY, recertification credit from the American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Family Medicine, and then I wanted to provide some state examples of what's being done. In Binghamton, New York, there's at the United Health Services Primary Clinic. It's a partnership with the Broome County Health Department, and they've integrated the whole of STEADY into their clinical practice, and over the last few months, they've shown a 50% increase in fall assessments done in the primary care setting and a 50% increase in patient care plans to address those. So already some positive findings from September to February of 2013. In Colorado, they reduced the annual insurance premiums for practices implementing STEADY, so a different way of getting practices to do this because there could be some financial incentive. And then the Tai Chi program implemented statewide through their YMCA. And then very exciting, at Oregon Health Sciences University in Portland, Oregon, they've integrated STEADY into their electronic health record at this academic medical center, which includes clinical decision support and community referral built into that EHR. And that's very exciting and something I think we're going to see more of in clinical medicine. So all patients greater than 75 are screened. Right now it's actually a geriatric clinic only, and they're going to expand that to internal medicine. But this is sort of the prompts that come up when a patient's in the waiting room. They're over 75 years of age, and they're there for their annual wellness check. The provider is now being triggered to go through the STEADY algorithm. So did they complete the self-risk assessment, the stay-independent brochure, yes or no? And then from that, it kind of goes into, are they higher risk, pulls in visual acuity data into the EHR, pulls in blood pressure information so we can go through if there's changes in postural hypertension, et cetera. And that also pulls up the timed up and go. And then it goes through a smart set of things that should be done then to address this. So, you know, it pulls up the safety checklist at the home. Did you do a check for postural hypertension, et cetera? And so it's the first time we've seen this integrated into an electronic health record. Also, the benefit of this is it captures CPT-2 codes so that we can now track, is this being done at the local level? So, and then provides orders that can allow people to be referred into the community to community-based classes, and will pull in local classes in the Portland area that seniors can take. So this is kind of an exciting development. This is the rest of the Falls team. And that's all I got. Kind of a little bit over. Sorry.